Now, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to probably a well-known portion of Scripture. And maybe you'll think it a strange portion of Scripture for the last day of the last Lord's Day of a year. But however, it's what the Lord put in my heart. And we're turning this morning to James and chapter 4. James and chapter 4 and verses 13 to 70. That's James chapter 4. And we're commencing to read at verse 13. And this is God's word. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We'll end our reading there. We know that God always adds a blessing to the public reading of his word. I must say, you know, 2020, it has been a unique year. We recognize that. Now, even in mission, you have to plan ahead, don't you, in the will of God, and you always make it subject to God's will. And yet for 2020, most of my plans went out through the window in March. In fact, even our church here has a list of special events through 2020, and by and large, they had to be cancelled. And I was just thinking again, you know, as believers, and always from this platform, might add, even when the announcements are made, it said, subject to God's will. And I was just thinking maybe we should reflect for a few minutes this morning, today, just as we're on the threshold of another year. This guy we read about, as John points out, and he said he was going to go into a city, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that, and he's going to do the other thing, and he was going to continue there a year. One of the other versions would say he was going to spend a year. And really the question as believers, or if there's anyone in the meeting who knows not Jesus, Lord and Savior, today, I just want to reflect and really think, you know, in the will of God, as we come towards the end of another year, how might we spend 2021? We haven't reached it yet, by the way. But to reflect, how might we spend 2021 as God would want us to spend it? We might have our plans. We might have all our ideas. But really, I think one of the big lessons for 2020 is that we're not in control. And there are many uncertainties. Thank God there are many certainties too. Many certainties that we can stand on the Word of God, many things we can know of assurance, and they're the only things that really matter, things that we know for certain. But there are many uncertainties. And you know, James really was writing to believers. It's often used as a gospel context, but just reflect for a few minutes. And just as you read through that, sometimes, you know, there's just wee words would jump out at us, but the whole theme, how are we going to continue in this new year? How are we going to spend 2021 in all of its uncertainties? Maybe think we're going to get this vaccination, or should I take the vaccination? And hopefully the second half of the year, things will go back to normal. And they talk about a new normal. Well, I trust that's all correct. But as believers today in the Lord Jesus, how might we spend 2021? And we trust and we pray for our government. We trust for wisdom for all of those folk. We pray for guidance for them. We pray for direction for them. We pray that indeed we will have a much better 2021 in that sense of the word. But just to think again, more about life as a believer. Or if someone doesn't know Jesus, what would the Lord be saying to us this morning in terms of planning as we go into a new year? Nothing wrong with plans, by the way. We need to be planned. We need to be strategic in our thinking, but subject to God's will. I was interested in a wee story I read one time just about William Gladstone, who had been the Prime Minister, I think, on four different occasions in the UK and Ireland, as it would have been at that time. He lived from 1809 till 1898. He was brought up in an evangelical home, and as to my understanding, he was a believer himself. And one of his friend's sons came to him for advice. And I repeat this because it really brings out a message that's very clear. Getting your priorities right, really thinking as we approach life, and as this question is asked in this portion of Scripture, for what is your life? What is your life? And when you ask the question, for what is your life, you're really looking at your life in terms of from the day you were born to the day you leave the scene of time. There's a big question about life and what's life all about and the purpose of life, but it's simply, what really is your life in terms of the day you're born onto the day you leave this planet? And this young fella came and asked William Gladstone, the then Prime Minister of Great Britain and Ireland, the son of a dear friend of his, came to him for some counsel about his career. And the Prime Minister Gladstone asked the young man what he was going to do. And he said, well, first I'm going to complete my studies at Oxford. Spend it, said Gladstone. But what then? Well, sir, when I plan to study the law and actually become a prominent barrister, perhaps in London. Wonderful, said the Prime Minister. And what then? Well, then I hope to rise within the party and land a significant cabinet post. Great idea, said the Prime Minister. And what then? Then, sir, the young man said, kind of sheepishly, I really hope I get your job. I hope to serve the Queen with the distinction that you are serving now, a noble gesture, said the Prime Minister. And what then? What then? After serving a long tenure as Prime Minister, I suspect I will be forced to retire. The Prime Minister said, and you shall. And what then? What then? The young man said, well, when I retire, I hope my mind is sharp and I'm still strong physically, and I really hope that I'm able to continue to serve the public and the Queen. The Prime Minister said, a noble ambition, and what then? What then? The young man paused and finally continued, well, I guess that after years of retirement, I shall die. William Gladstone said, yes, you will. And what then? And what then? Young men said, sir, I have never thought beyond death. And the Prime Minister leaned forward and told him, my son, you're a fool. Go home and think through your life with the end in mind. And when you think with the end in mind, this present moment will take on new meaning. And I do believe as believers, we really do need to think with the end in mind. Because life is short. And James points that out to us. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? And then he gives a description. He said, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Just like boiling the kettle to make a cup of tea. And up goes the vapor. The time you have the cup of tea made, the vapor's gone. Life is brief. And no matter whether we're believers or unbelievers or sitting on the fence, I believe it's important that we live with eternity's view in mind. Eternity's view in mind. Someone said, you know, that some people were so heavenly minded they were no earthly use. But I actually read a commentator and I said, what a load of rubbish. You're no earthly use until you become heavenly minded. You're no earthly use till you have eternity in mind. No earthly use. And like that young chap that came for advice from Gladstone, he was going to have a tremendous career. And by the way, absolutely nothing wrong with that. Young people, perhaps at university and college, and you're quite right, or out working or whatever. That's what God has planned for you. But, you know, it's not The main thing. The main thing is that we're living with eternity's view in mind. Eternity's view in mind. Because that's really the only impact we have. And the Bible does mention it in many ways right through Scripture. Job says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. He talked of it. Life has been like a wind. Like a weaver's shuttle. And he says, but for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. And that shadow makes all the difference how we live that shadow here. How it is. And it's important this morning. I think God wants to remind us of that today. You know, Job again, and we know all about Job and his trials, but he said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He said, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. The psalmist encourages to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And so perhaps the Lord would want to tell us as we come to the end of 2020 with all of its uncertainties and prove to us that our planning can be just go out the window in a minute, just to remember to teach us to number our days, to really apply our hearts to what God would want for us, to really apply what's the big picture, living in light of eternity and how we might do that. Actually, I was in my reading this morning, Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't want to be morbid, but all through the year from March, every day they put up a many people died of COVID-19. And has been a subject that's been brought to people's mind all through the year. And yet the day is the question I want to ask, are you ready? All statistics. And even the newscasters would have said, you know, we recognize behind these figures there's individuals and there's families and there's people more, absolutely. And that's why I'm careful this morning, because many people lost loved ones today through this year. I lost my mother last year. We all meet it. But the important question is, are you ready to go? Maybe it's a good point to ask the question in the meeting this morning, are you saved? If you were to be one of those statistics, are you ready to leave time and go out into God's eternity and be assured that you're in heaven? Because the Scripture makes it clear that you can be. And that's what the Christmas story is all about. Because actually the Lord didn't ask us to remember Christmas, by the way, he asked to remember his death and his come. Jesus came to die. To take your and my penalty. To die on our behalf. To shed his precious blood that we might know our sins forgiven. Have this assurance in our heart and life that it's well with our souls. And if we were to be one of those statistics in 2021, I'd be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's a wonderful thing to carry into 2021. That's a great assurance. No matter what's going to happen in 2021, it's well with my soul. Well with my soul. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. And you know, while this may be rather solemn what I'm saying to you today, that's what the Lord put in my heart. Talk about the bottom line. The bottom line. I used to work with a company and their business. They always were worried about the right-hand corner, the bottom, and it was black and a good big figure there, the bottom line. Well, the bottom line, the bottom line as far as are you ready for heaven? That's the question I'd want to ask today. Not only are you sure of it, because God's word says you can not only be saved, but you can be sure of it. And not only that, for 2021, he can keep you. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Lord. You know, James gives us good advice here. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For what you ought to say. I finally get to the point. For what you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. You know, I the Lord just stopped me that. I know it's in italics and probably wasn't in the original, but for what you ought. There's a whole lot of things we ought to do. And that's not what I'm. But the Lord did stop me that we word ought. Things we ought to do. And that's not what I'm really, the point I'm really making, but you know, we ought. One of the scriptures that came to mind, they were talking about parables in the children's talk this morning. He spake a parable onto this, and that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ought always to pray. Now, when I went into that word ought there, you know, it was a binding obligation. And I'm just wondering, I know you are a praying people, but I wonder how our prayer life is. Wonder how our prayer life is. And could we up the game a bit in 2021? Prayer. We ought to pray and not to faint. And even in 2020, and all its distractions, you could leave it aside. What about making 2021 a year of prayer? We ought to pray. That's something we ought to do. And there are many oughts. We ought to, us men, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. We ought to walk rightly with God. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And there are a whole lot of, why don't we study things we ought to do? Actually, as a matter of interest, you know, if, for what you ought to say, if the Lord, do you ever do a study if? You have only about 1,600 of them to look up. So we'll not go through them this morning. Tell you one again in the gospel. For what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Do we study if? In revival, if my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face and pray, then he said, then he would heal their land. Why not make this a year for praying for revival? Would be a great outcome from 2020 that people got on their knees and prayed that God would move again in the United Kingdom, and now Boris has got his Brexit. But this country needs a mighty Holy Ghost revival. We need a move of God. And yours starts, the boy on the platform. And that we revived and we see God move through these islands of ours, through the United Kingdom, through Ireland, that God would move in a mighty Holy Ghost revival. But there were just a few wee things. We're planning a new year. Let's plan it in the will of God. Plan it in the will of God. And nothing wrong with planning. Nothing wrong with thinking about your career. Or if you're on the end of the scale, nothing wrong. Maybe you're thinking about your retirement. But let's do it in the will of God. Subject to God's will. And Lord, what would you have me to do? What's your will? I'll tell you one thing about God's will. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. That's about people saying, you're talking about the Lord coming again. By the way, he's coming again, and he could be coming very soon. And we need to be ready, and we need to be waiting, we need to be looking. But we need to be working, and we need to be serving. But this is the point. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. Listen. Not willing. That any should perish. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And let this be a year that we're praying for souls, knowing that it's not God's will that any should perish. And just as Julie and Joanne looked out through the wee hole of the whosoever put their face in it, that we can see many faces looking out and saying, Donald, Willie, Paddy, Mickey, Lizzie, whoever. Not God's will that any should perish. I'd ask that question this morning. If you had to put your face in that wee circle this morning and stuck your head out through it, are you sure your name has been there? Not God's willing that any should perish. For God, if this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, and that means men, women, boys and girls, to be saved. Some people don't like the saved word. I love it. because I was lost. And then the Lord came and saved me. Wonderful thing to be saved. And understanding God's will, you know, he'd have all men to be saved as far as salvation is concerned. And he wants believers as well that were filled with the Spirit. Thank God we're born of the Spirit, but boys that were filled with the Spirit. Go down to 2001. But be filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled daily. Seeking the Lord. Being filled with the power of God. He wants believers to be sanctified. When we're saved, we're positionally sanctified. But you know, all through our life's journey, there's progressive sanctification. And God would want us to, 2021, to be different at the end of it. Make progress. And become a, well, as someone said, as holy as a saved sinner can be. That should be your objective. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. God wants us to be submissive. Many things for God, even it could be to suffer. Many believers across the world do, by the way. But as you think of it, that we get into the center of God's will, God's perfect will for our life. And someone has said that the will of God will never take us where the grace of God can't keep us. And that would be some of our prayers. Just say, Lord, when this 2020 is uncertain, all our plans are up the left. Lord, as we go into 21, I just want to go in the center of your will and to keep me in your will and to show me your will and let me know your will for my life. And the Lord will reveal that to you. Reveal it to you as we surrender to him. Many things we could say about the will of God. Thank God for the will. But another thing, a few wee W's came to me because I'm a simple fella. But we need to go into 2021 in the will of God. Let's go into the 2021 in the Word of God. Word of God. Challenge you there. How's your prayer life? How's my prayer life? But how's your time spent in the Word of God? Now, why not read the whole Bible in 2020? Actually, it doesn't take that long. I was reading there in some of the papers over the weekend how much, I think it was 158 hours people between looking on Facebook, and I don't look much at it, television, all these gadgets. Over the Christmas week, they spent 158 hours. Well, I was really challenged. I watched a bit of television too. And I really thought, how much time did I spend in the Word of God? How much time did we spend in prayer? You know, sometimes we just need a wee bit of a wake-up call, don't we, even as believers? And the Word of God is just so wonderful, really, isn't it? You get into the Word of God, the psalmist said, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, yea, thy law is written in my heart. He just loved it. My last plan was over 2 years, and the Psalms and Proverbs then, they kept repeating them. And the will of God this year, we have a plan for in 2021 to read just the Bible through again. There's a wee pastor I know in Wales, and this is what he said. You know, as you go to the Word of God, here's four wee things you might do in 2021. You know, ask the Lord, is there a divine precept to obey? Is there something in there? You know, the Lord is over all. It's a precept as to place and trust or to take oversight. Is the Word of God taking oversight in our life? And is there something in there that we need to obey? And is there a divine principle that we need to apply in our lives in 2021? As we go and read that word and think of it, is there a principle here that we could apply in my life? Is there a promise to believe? It's full of promises, the Word of God. I had a few written out, but time wouldn't allow me. But go and say, is there a promise? And then he had another wee one that I didn't hear before, and I've heard most of them. Is there a prayer to echo? He said that the Bible's full of prayers. Actually, I mind reading one time, I think there's over 600 prayers recorded in the Scriptures. And the disciples' prayer, the Lord's Prayer, some mentioned, of course, it's John 17, but, you know, our Father art in heaven. By the way, I think it only takes over a minute at normal words to pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven. It doesn't take long to pray it. But is there a prayer to echo that's even in the Scriptures? The Lord has told us to pray for laborers to go into His harvest. We could pray for that, couldn't we? Pray for the many prayers in the Scriptures and just to study them. But not only to go into the new year in the will of God and to go into the will in the Word of God, but to go into the year in God's ways. You know, a verse of Scripture often comes to me in Jeremiah, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths," because we're getting away from them, by the way. We're getting away from the old paths. And the old paths are God's paths. The old paths are recorded in Scripture. The old path says that we need to be saved. The old path says that we need to assemble ourselves together as believers. And by the way, that's not I understand the current regulations, and there's a whole lot of debate around that. But in general. The old paths are, if you're a believer, to be baptized according to the Scripture. Old paths. The old paths of the gospel. The old paths of prayer. The old paths of preaching the blood. Redemption through the blood. Even the forgiveness. That we stick to the old paths. And Jeremiah said, listen, and he gave a challenge to Israel. And he said, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? And let's look for the good way and walk therein. And there's much we could say about God's ways, but the wee chorus said, I met Jesus at the crossroads. Where the two ways meet, Satan too was standing there. He said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give you this day. But I said, no, there's Jesus here. Just see what he offers me. Down here, my sins forgiven. Up there, a home in heaven. Praise God. That's the way for me. Well, we could say much about God's ways. You could preach for a year on it. But let's get into God's way and God's path and stay in it. The wee word, this is the way, walk you in it. Listen out for the voice of God. Much we could say about all of that. But as we plan to go into this year, let's go in the will of God. Let's go in the Word of God. Let's go in the ways of God. Let's go in working for God. Working for God. I just love watching that because, you see, this year has brought out some talents in the church, hasn't it? By the way, everybody has some gift that God has them to work for Him. There's a mum and daughter act this morning telling a wonderful story in conversation. I just love to see a mother and daughter loving the Lord doing that, don't you? So we need to get that. I don't know. I haven't a clue. I'm not technical. I'd have that on YouTube. It's just as good as any of us on YouTube. When it comes to YouTube, I am truly a tube. Because me and technology. But let me tell you something. We need new ways of expressing the gospel, and the Lord's shown us that in 2020. And get this on YouTube. Because there's boys out there not come through the door, and that's maybe the first way of reaching them. Wasn't the drive-in service a new innovation? Wasn't it wonderful? Well, I don't think, and we have one of our elders here, whether that was maybe on the plans at January 2020. But certainly wasn't the plans later on in the year. That was God's plan. And they listened to it and obeyed that. Filled a park with people and other people. And that's wonderful. But there's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. There's a task the Master just for you has planned. He has to do the bidding, yield him service to. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. And that's something we need to. We'll go into 2020. You say, Don, there's not many opportunities, sir. We're going to be in lockdown. The Lord has a job for you in lockdown. Tell you, one of them is, and it's the hardest work, prayer. That's one anyway. That's everybody signed up. But I can trust me, there's a work. And the Lord didn't tell us to sit in our hands. It's a work for Jesus. We can't go into that. And my last thought is, and time's up, and we want to have this over in the hour. We need to walk with God. Let's walk with God. Like Enoch. Walk with God. And you can't walk with God unless you're in agreement with God. It's something that if you're going to walk with God, we need to have a meeting with God first in salvation. And then there's not only a meeting, but there's a merging together. We get into the walk and step with God And there's movement, moving forward. A lot we could say about that, but let's walk with God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds in our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And we're going to conclude our service by singing about walking with God, and I didn't choose it, it was Andrea. Oh, for a closer walk with God. How